You are listening to a podcast from becomingjewish.org. Please visit us at www.becomingjewish.org. The title of this podcast is Different Aspects of Hashem. The Jewish religion is a network of profound ideas and rich insights, which during its long history has generated the fundamental beliefs of all Western religion. It has contributed to the civilized world, its crowning ideals, and its most glorious convictions, among them the idea of one God. Maurice Lamb. Hear Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. If Judaism has a dogma, this is it. The Jews have given a gift to the world with this simple yet profound statement. The early Hebrews believed, as did the pagans of the early world, in multiple gods and the worship of these many pagan gods. The Jews discovered monotheism, realized that Hashem is one and not multiple, and then went on to explain why this belief made the God of the Hebrews different from the pagan gods. According to Thomas Cahill, what was new about this belief is the Jewish perception of Hashem as being a real personality who has intervened in real history, changing its course and robbing it of predictability. Even though there are references to angels or divine beings, such as Psalms 103 verse 20, and the host of heaven, 1 Kings 22 verse 19, this in no way detracts from Hashem's uniqueness. All these references to angels, divine beings, and hosts of heaven are referring to Hashem's messengers who do the bidding of the one God. The God the Jews brought to the world does not belong to a collective of gods, nor is he a godhead or leader of such a collective. Hashem also has no female counterpart or any, quote, relatives. The rabbis also taught that Hashem is one. An earthly king has dukes and viceroys, who share with him in the burden of rule, and also have a share in the honor with which he is honored. But God is not so. He has not duke or governor, and no lieutenant. No other with him does he his work, but he does it alone. No other bears the burden with him, but he bears it alone. Therefore he alone is to be praised. Midrash on Psalms 149 verse 1. In the Hebrew scriptures, God is often referred to as El, Elohim, El Shaddai, Adon, Tzur, Av, and Melech, to help people relate to the ways in which God touched their lives. This in no way means that there are multiple gods. When I am judging created things, I am called God, and when I am waging war against the wicked, I am called Lord of Hosts. When I suspend judgment for a man's sins, I am called El Shaddai, and when I am merciful towards my world, I am called Adonai, for Adonai refers to the attribute of mercy. As it is said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. Exodus Rabbah, Shemot 3:6. A major concern for the rabbis is the claim of some that there are two different gods operating in the world, one in charge of good and one in charge of evil. Because of this concern, they taught, Scripture would not let the nations of the world have an excuse for saying that there are two powers, but declares, I am the Lord your God. I am he who was in Egypt, and I am he who was at the sea. I am he who was at Sinai. I am he who was in the past, and I am he who will be in the future. Milkita Bakodesh 4, Volume 2, page 231. Nobody knows what God looks like. In fact, God instructed the Jews not to represent him by a sculpted image, not to make idols, as did the pagan peoples of the time. Exodus 20, verses 4 and 5. Even when Moses and a few elders of Israel saw God, the passage does not say exactly what they saw. However, it is believed that this really referred to a platform on which they believe God stood. Exodus 24 verse 10. Even Moses, who knew God face to face, Deuteronomy 34 verse 10, was told that he would only see my back, but my face must not be seen. Exodus 33 verse 23. We can feel God's presence, but in no way can we see God's likeness. Even though nobody has seen God and has no idea of what he looks like, the rabbis took God's existence for granted. However, there is some rabbinic literature that attempts to prove the existence of a universal God. According to one midrash, an unbeliever came to Rabbi Akiva and asked him, who created the world? Rabbi Akiva said, "Who made the garment which you are wearing?" The other replied, "Obviously a weaver." "Prove it to me," said Rabbi Akiva. "What proof can I show you? Don't you know that a weaver makes clothes?" "And don't you know," Rabbi Akiva answered, "that God is the creator of the universe?" When Rabbi Akiva's students asked that he explain his reasoning better, he said, "Just as a house implies that a builder built it, so the world makes known God as the one who created it. According to the rabbis, what others call gods are simply idols, other gods. But are they gods? Has it not been said, 'And have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods'? What then does Scripture mean when it says other gods? Merely those which others called gods." Megillta Bachodesh, 6, Volume 2, page 239. Even though we cannot see God or describe God in human terms, we can easily recognize His presence in the world through creation, humanity, and God's influence on history. According to the Jewish monotheistic idea, God alone created the world and established a predictable order to His creation. Genesis chapter 1 and Psalms 104 verses 19 and 20. God's creation is also renewed on a continuous basis. Psalm 135 verse 7. The earth is the Lord's only. Psalm 24 verse 1. And no individual can lay claim to possessing the earth. Leviticus 25 verse 23. Humanity is to only act as the keeper of the world. God's might and concern for humanity has led Him to influence history. Exodus 20 verse 2 and Deuteronomy 26 verses 8 and 9. And God controls the affairs of those who come into contact with the Jews. Deuteronomy 7 verses 1 through 2, 2 Kings 10 verse 32, and Isaiah chapter 10 verses 5 and 6 and chapter 44 verse 28. God also has two personalities, Midat HaRachamim, or mercy, and Midat HaDin, justice, that are used in His interaction with the world. Through justice, God assures humanity that nothing happens by chance, and that the wicked will receive just punishment. Exodus 6 verse 1 and 7 verse 14 and chapter 10 verse 2. Through mercy, God considers individual cases and tempers the harsh decrees. Genesis 6 verse 3, chapter 8 verses 20 through 22, chapter 9 verses 8 through 17, chapter 19 verses 24 and 25, chapter 22 verses 7 and 8 and 11 through 18, and chapter 25 verses 19 through 23. You can also see this in Exodus 3 verse 2 through chapter 4 verse 27 and Isaiah 54 verse 17. We cannot understand why the righteous suffer. Genesis 18 verse 25, Deuteronomy 8 verse 2, Proverbs 10 verse 28, Psalm 37 verse 25 and chapter 73 verse 3, Jeremiah 12 verse 1, Job 4 verse 8 and chapter 11 verse 7, Ecclesiastes 9 verse 3 and Isaiah 55 verse 9. In spite of this uncertainty, the Jews were urged to return to God for strength and support. Psalm 73 verses 16 and 17. The rabbis discussed how a person should respond to yisurin, suffering, that is part of the human condition. One of the main rabbinic assumptions is that suffering frequently comes because of sin. Rabba says, "If a man sees that painful sufferings visit him, let him examine his conduct. If he examines and finds nothing, let him attribute it to the neglect of the study of Torah. If he did attribute it and still did not find, let him be sure that these are chastisings of love." Berachot 5a. The rabbis seem to have recognized that suffering may have a purpose, though it is beyond human understanding. As Rabbi Yani says, "It is not in our power to understand the prosperity of the wicked, nor the yisurin of the righteous." Avot 4:19. For the rabbis, God is Israel's parent, protector, and savior. This relationship is mutual. Just as God loves Israel, so does Israel love God. God has a special relationship with the people Israel who choose to accept the offer of his covenant and for Israel to be bound by it forever. Deuteronomy 7 verse 6 and chapter 32 verses 9 and 10. Even though God chose Israel and Israel chose God, it was not due to any special merits of the Israelites. Deuteronomy 7 verses 7 and 8. Israel was chosen because of the faithfulness and loyalty of the patriarchs and matriarchs. Deuteronomy 4 verse 37. God promises to protect Israel, and Israel swears to follow the conditions of the covenant. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. This chosenness, however, brings along with it great responsibilities. Amos 3 verse 2. A particular purpose of this chosenness is to be a light unto the nations. The majority of what I have been talking about up until now is the transcendent or universal aspects of God. But God is also a personal God. Genesis chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 6, and chapters 17, 18, and 22, as well as Exodus 12, verse 12, 2 Samuel 7, verses 3 and 14, and 1 Kings 19, verse 12. God is not only a faraway supreme power, but he is also an approachable, caring deity. Exodus 20, verse 5, and 34, verse 14, Numbers 11, 33, Psalm 103, verse 13, 100, verse 5, and 145, verse 18, as well as Hosea 2, verse 21. According to the rabbis, even though we cannot see or understand God, that does not mean that he is distant and aloof. The rabbis stress that God is approachable. A heathen once asked Rabbi Joshua ben Korah, why did God choose a thorn bush from which to speak to Moses? God spoke from the thorn bush to teach you that no place is devoid of God's presence, not even a thorn bush. Exodus Rabbah Shemot 2, 5. God is near to every individual who calls in sincerity. A man enters a synagogue and stands behind a pillar and prays in a whisper, and God hears his prayer, and so it is with all his creatures. Can there be a nearer God than this? He is as near to his creatures as the ear to the mouth. Jerusalem Talmud, Berachot 9, number 1F, 13A, 117. For the rabbis, the nearness of God is determinant upon the individual's conduct. Individuals can bring God closer or keep God farther away. When a person is mean and does things that are not correct, his actions remove him from the Shekhinah. As it is said, your sins have separated between you and your God. But when a person does good deeds and pursues Torah studies, his actions bring him closer to the Shekhinah. Seder Eliyahu Rabbah. By picturing God as an immanent God who takes the personal interest in the affairs of humankind, they humanized God and made the Holy One approachable by any individual. God is both immanent and transcendent, and both personal and universal. God is one and indivisible with a special bond and everlasting covenant with Israel. He acts within and also judges the world. God also has the special attributes of justice and mercy. God is indescribable within the limits of human knowledge and language, but he is very close and powerful. Thank you for listening to different aspects of Hashem. Shalom.